So now it's like, if you take the time and you invest in them and you show them that, you know, they're appreciated. Day one, when they walk in, you show that they're appreciated. We have little swag bags, you know, with the water bottle, they have their uniforms in there, maybe a hat, something like that. We hand it to them, you know, and they're happy. It's like,
welcome to Beyond Clean with Ace. In the world of commercial cleaning, newcomers and seasoned professionals know we're more than just toilets, windows, and floors. We're just like everyone else with diverse interests in everything. And over the past 7 seasons, tens of thousands have discovered engaging, thoughtful, and truly game-changing knowledge here. Whether you're a facility manager, a frontline staff member, or a building services contractor, we're here to help you grow both personally and professionally. So hit that subscribe button and share with others, because we're all about enhancing lives in healthy, positive, and proactive ways. Now let's join Dave Thompson, Director of the Academy of Cleaning Excellence, your host here at Beyond Clean with Ace.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Dave Thompson here again. And yes, you are at Beyond Clean with Ace, where we talk about more than just cleaning. Yes, that is true. We're in season 8. It is, gosh, it's February already, folks. Yeah, hang on to your hat. It's going to be a rock and roll year. You know what? I like to travel all around the world and around the country. And, you know, it's just a great thing. I can sit right here in my sunny Florida location and do that. But I don't think it's quite the same where you are, Edwin, as it is here in Florida.
It's not. No, it's, what is it right now? It's about 32 degrees here. I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt, but because I'm used to this weather here, but I'd rather be in Florida where you're at soaking up the sun right now.
Well, it's not 32, but it's not an 80 degree either. It is February, but so before we get into this, Edwin, let's hear about who you are, what you do, and why are you in the cleaning business?
Yeah. So, well, first off, I appreciate the invite to the show. I've been listening to it and watching things, so this is great to be part of this with you. So, thank you for that. Yeah. So, you know, my name's Edwin. I'm the owner of iPro Building Services. And so we're a commercial cleaning company located in the Pacific Northwest, more specifically Washington State. I'm smack dab right in the middle of Washington State, a little city called Wenatchee. And on a good day, we have about 50,000 people. We're about 2.5 hours from Seattle. But yeah, the cleaning industry, how did I get into the cleaning industry? Well, I don't think anybody just kind of has that on their wish list of, this is what I want to do for a career, right? So I was going to the University of Washington, go Dogs. And my college roommate's uncle owned a commercial cleaning company. And up in Washington State, you know, they call it I-5, which goes from, you know, the Canadian border by Washington all the way down through California. And he had a lot of accounts all throughout there, had a decent size commercial cleaning company. And he called my college roommate and said, okay, hey, where you guys are living, I've got 3 banks and I don't have any cleaners. Would you guys be willing to hold the fort down for me till I can find some new cleaners? I'll pay you beer money. You know, so he was speaking our language, you know, as college students, beer money. I'm down. Let's do this. And, you know, that's how we got into it. Wasn't the best cleaner at all, but, you know, it was fast paced and we didn't have anybody really managing us. So it was kind of fun at that aspect of it. You know, fast forward a little bit, finished my degree in college, you know, in hospitality. So I was working in the hotels in the Seattle area. I'm an only child. So I promised my parents if anything ever happened to them, I'd move back and take care of them. And so I moved back to the bustling metropolis of Wenatchee of 50,000 people to come back and take care of my parents.
Hey, at least really, you did what you said you was going to do. See, that's not
right,
what everybody does.
Right, I followed through, right? Yeah.
Right.
But in terms of a career for hotels, you know, the money I was making in Seattle compared to moving back home, it just wasn't there. And so, you know, I worked in a few hotels and I was making it through, no worries. But I just had this thought, you know, if I want to start a business, what can I do? And I kind of went back to my college roommate and we talked, and I talked to his uncle and I said, you know, I think I have an itch to start my own business. I want to start a commercial cleaning company since, you know, we did a little bit of work for you in those banks. You know, what do you think? And he said, well, you know, I've got enough that I can support you for a month. And if you can make your money back in the month, then we can continue with this. He goes, you know, it's all on you. You're going to take the risk to do that. And so I looked at my wife and I said, you know what? It's an opportunity. Let's try it out. Let's see what happens. And, you know, that month, at the end of the month, I ended up making the money back for my salary and then some. But I didn't understand what I was getting myself into. So I was leveraging all my family and friends, and I was selling and I was getting accounts, but then it's like, great, I have an account. I don't have any cleaners, so I got to clean it. So I was selling during the day, and then I was in cleaning at night.
At some point in there, Edwin, you had to decide you're not the only person that can clean.
Right, right.
Somebody else has got to do something, because you can't do it all forever.
No way. And, you know, I always refer to, you know, because I'm a football fan. We used to have Russell Wilson as our quarterback, and his hashtag was no time to sleep. And I really understand what that hashtag means, because I didn't have any time to sleep. I would lay my head down and it was back up and at it again, you know, I had to make the money back to prove to him that I could do this. And so I wanted to be able to do that. And my wife was in the banking world, and she'd been there for 10 plus years doing mortgages and things like that. And, you know, I looked at her and I said, you know, I just need help. You know, can you help me with this? And so she looked at me and said, well, so a couple of her friends in the banking industry played hockey. My wife has never played a sport in her whole life. And they convinced her, to play hockey of all sports. Right. And so,
consider where you're at. Hockey's going to be the sport, man.
It is right now. It really is. But so she's playing hockey, and with, you know, some of the people that she met, some friends there, a lot of them worked for this company that sold corsets, you know, the stuff Kim Kardashian wears and stuff like that. And so they said, hey, I know you and Edwin dabbled a little bit in eBay. You know, we have a lot of returns and irregulars that come through. Would you be interested in selling on eBay? And so she went down there, took a look at what they had, and she said, you know what, I could probably try this out to see if I can support us with that so I can help you in the business. And so she actually walked away from her job, and she started selling these corsets, and she was making enough to pay the mortgage and pay the bills while I was hustling to make this thing work. And so, you know, it was a huge risk to do it, but the reward in the end was huge for us. And I owe her a lot for doing that, because if she didn't do that, I don't know that I would still be in this industry today. So,
well, now wait a minute. Did I hear that right? That you owe the success of your company to your wife?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She'll love to hear that. Yeah. It's a 50-50 deal. You know, I
okay. All right. Now wait.
But she was out. Like
you were doing a lot of the blood, sweat, and tears here. You know,
there's all that other stuff that I don't want to take care of, is the paperwork and the payroll and all that other stuff. And that's what she's good at, right? Coming from the banking industry. So she handled a lot of that, but she also came out and did cleaning with me. And so, at a point, my college roommate's uncle and I butted heads. I wanted to expand as we started to grow, and he didn't want to expand. So we mutually parted, and I started iPro in 2013, and it was just off and running from there. And so, you know, our logo here, it's got the house on it. So we used to do some residential in the beginning, but now we're just focused just mainly commercial. But we kept the logo because it's in the community now, and people recognize what that is. So I haven't changed that up. But yeah, just strictly commercial now.
That's what you built your brand on. So that's what stays. Now, I got to ask a question. That you said mutual. I'm thinking, I'm just curious. Did he stay in cleaning and just do a different side, or did he go do something else?
No, he already had his business established in the Seattle area. So he was in a big market. So he was completely fine with it. And so, you know, when we parted ways, he kind of did his thing and I did mine. Some of the contracts that we had in the area here that he had under his business name, he kept. And then I just kind of went on and did my thing with other stuff. So he's still in this area a little bit with some of the employees that I originally hired, which is great loyalty to that company. But yeah, for us, I mean, it was a great step just to part ways and to be able to do things on my own. I had no formal training, right? So I had management training and sales training through the hospitality industry. But when it comes to janitorial, it's just kind of, here you go, learn it and figure it out.
It's a different world, right? Yeah.
It is. And so, you know, the question, how does somebody fall into this industry? Well, I don't know that anybody just wants to do this. Again, you know, it's not sexy. It's not glamorous by any means, cleaning toilets and taking trash out, right? I don't think anybody wants to do that. But when you see number wise and, you know, how much money can be made in this industry, I think that starts to pique a lot of people's interest. And you can see that, and, you know, you've been in the industry for a very long time. There's thousands of companies that are, you know, starting up every single month and oh, yeah. seeing the value in this industry.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've heard this, and it may have changed over the years, but I think it stays pretty consistent, Edwin, that 60% of the companies in the cleaning industry have an annual revenue of less than $250,000 a year and mm-hmm. never make it to year three.
Yep. I've heard that stat in year five. You're lucky if you get there. And then after that, you know, it's a crapshoot at that point. I mean, I guess, you know, pre-pandemic, there were a lot of players in the game. And then when the pandemic hit, you were either prepared for it and you made it through the pandemic. And the ones that weren't prepared, you know, the smaller mom and pops just slowly kind of went out of business. And now that I guess you could say we're post-pandemic, if you made it through there, you're even stronger now and you're able to grow. And luckily for us, we were prepared. We had the right distributors in place that actually got us electrostatic guns and hand sanitizer before this whole thing happened. So we thrived during the pandemic. And then now that we're in the post-pandemic, it's spiraled in and we just continue to grow. And we're growing in new areas almost monthly.
Well, I think that what the pandemic, since you mentioned it there, Edwin, is that what it did do for us is it brought two things. One is a great awareness to our industry and the value that we bring to just everyday life for everybody. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what avenue you're in, I think our importance became very, very well known. And I think the other thing
in the limelight
is, as you said, If the people made it through, those that made it through and are still in business, because there was a lot of people that came into it during the pandemic, but they have mm-hmm. that chaff has weeded itself out because they were flaky, fly-by-nights, shysters. So yeah. Like you said, if they made it through, they are stronger today. I would like to ask you, though, since you struggled with the employment issue and the people, and now that you've made it to the other side, I think I noticed on your website, you're 150 strong. There's some kudos that needs to go out to you, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, a few years back, it was company culture, and I never really thought about that much. And then it clicked a couple of years ago. And it was like, you know, a lot of companies, you know, there's employee of the month. And so we would do the employee of the month. But it seemed like every time we, you know, awarded somebody the employee of the month, it seemed like a month or two later they quit. And I just couldn't wrap my head around that. Like you got employee of the month and all of a sudden you're quitting. But I think what happened was we created almost a kind of negative culture with the employee of the month because other people felt like they should have been employee of the month. So it caused drama within the staff. And so there was some resentment to the person that would get the employee of the month. So I thought, okay, let's table that. What can we do to get the staff more involved and not have this drama amongst everybody? It's like, well, how about birthdays? We celebrate birthdays. And I'm thinking, well, some religions don't celebrate birthdays, so I don't want to go that avenue. But what about anniversaries? Let's talk about anniversaries and let's celebrate anniversaries. And so we slowly got into that. And then now, you know, that's what we do in our socials. We still post some of the before and afters, and a lot of companies do that, and that's great. But our focus is just posting on our socials all about our people, because without the people, your business isn't going to grow, right? And so we've really taken that to another step. You know, you're seeing the website there. We have a site dedicated to company culture. And then our media page that we have on our website as well, it shows everybody that's celebrating, and we have videos that are up there. You know, we do special videos, surprise videos, but now the staff looks at this. I mean, there's times where it's maybe a day or two after their anniversary date and they'll come to me and say, "Hey, it was my anniversary a couple of days ago. Why haven't you surprised me yet? You know, where's my plaque and all this?" And so, and they almost feel like local celebrities when we post this. And what's the thing that's kind of evolved as we've done this now is, when, you know, when we set it up for somebody to come in for their anniversary, we kind of do surprise them. And so we'll you know, we've got the shop and then our main office. We'll close the door in between, and then we'll have one of the supervisors tell the employees, hey, you know, you got to go talk to the boss or something like that. And they'll come through the door. And now most of the staff will be there. They'll get there 15, 20 minutes early, and we'll just do a full surprise on them as they come in and, you know, congratulate them. Everybody's cheering. There's cake, there's food. And it's just become this culture within our company that people want to come to work for us. People don't want to leave. And so, you know, a lot of people with their proposals, they put their references of other companies that they take care of. We still do that from time to time, but our reference page is our social media sites. And we tell our prospective clients, check out our social media pages, because you're going to see all about the people, because we've already talked to them. And most of our clients, their pain points are about not being able to find people for the, you know, to work in their facilities, the workforce, right? So we say, you're going to go on our social media and you're going to see people. You're going to see Susan, who's been with us for 8 years. You're going to see Ken, who's been with us for 5 years. You're going to see Alex, who's been with us for 3 years. And people love that. And, you know, a cool story is at the end of last year, coming into this year, we had a huge client that I've been after for about 8 years. They wouldn't give me the time of day because a big national company had that account just locked down tight. They came to me and they said, Edwin, we follow you on LinkedIn. We saw all your posts about your people. We love the culture. We love how you take care of your employees. We don't like the company that we currently have, but we love their employees. And so I went in for the walkthrough. They handed me the invoice that company gave them, said, this is what they're charging us every month. I want you to be competitive with that price. I know you're probably going to be more because you're going to take care of the employees. Here's the price. You get us something that's close to that, and you can take on these employees. That's part of the deal. We want you to take these employees. And I'm thinking in my head, you're showing me the price that you want me to charge you, and you're going to give me the employees, so there's no training involved. I said, this is a win-win, you know? And so we did that, and then it spiraled off to another account across the street. And when I'm talking about accounts, so where I'm at, we have a bunch of rivers and a bunch of dams. And when there's dams, that means there's cheap power. And so with cheap power means all the big Fortune 500 technology companies are in town. So think of the big major technology companies. They're building data centers all throughout the areas that I'm in, from my headquarters here, 600-mile radius. And all of a sudden, they start hearing about this. And so we found our niche. And with the company culture, people are seeing this, and they're spreading the word with these other companies and these data centers. And we've been able to just grow with that. And so, you know, people look at marketing, what do you do? And we try to think outside the box. And people, we're in the people and technology industry. That's what the cleaning industry is. And people is the biggest piece to that. And so we've been able to hone in on that and really just run with it and take care of our people. And it's helped our business just explode and grow.
Are you familiar with our Rockstar Custodian program that we do here at the Academy?
I am, yes. Yeah, I looked into that. Yes.
I just thought it was interesting how whenever I scrolled down through there, I saw your rock stars and mm-hmm. that. And so, hey, I just want to let you know that here this month, we're getting ready to recognize our rock star custodian for this year. And for the first time, we're actually starting to do also rock stars by state. So we're actually handing out 3 state awards. So if anybody's listening to this podcast today, anywhere time in 2024, not only can you register or nominate somebody for the national rock star, but you can also do it for your local state. So hopefully in 25, we'll be actually presenting a number of different rock stars across the country. Kind of like you were talking, you know, everything has a tendency. You take the baby steps, you grow. And we're so glad to say the Rockstar program's growing. I think that's what's interesting. When I looked at yours, you have all these people, you celebrate them. And as you said, they are the backbone, because without mm-hmm. them, there's no profit.
There's not, yeah. Yeah, it's huge. And it's just, and it's the little things that count. Like when they come into work, and you know, we've had 3 different offices. When they come into work, we have a specific beverage fridge, and we have energy drinks and Gatorade and water, and then we have a little snack bar. And so when they come in to talk with their supervisors, pick up their keys and equipment, they're grabbing an energy drink, they're grabbing a snack, and they love that. And it's like we you know, we leave comment cards on there. What do you want? You know, what kind of snacks do you want to see? And so they'll tell us, and then next thing you know, there's their snacks that they want. And it's something as small, you know, as little as that, and they love it. And so, and what's nice about that is they tell their friends, they tell their families. And so for us, you know, finding employees, honestly, it isn't a pain point for us. We have no problem with that. It's almost like we have a dugout filled with people ready to go in case something was to happen or as we continue to expand.
Well, I think what you're saying here is what one thing builds to another. And as I'm hearing you, you have a plethora of different things that you do for your people. Not once have I heard you mention we increased their salary and rewarded them with money.
Yeah. Honestly, when you do these little things, money really, I mean, you'll get a few people that are asking for raises and things like that. But for a majority of it, they don't. It's the little things. It's, you know, it's the anniversary. Hey, here's a plaque. And we have different tiers. So, you know, for year one, everybody gets a plaque regardless. Year one, it's a $50 gift card. We're not going to put it on your check because taxes are going to be taken out. So we're going to give you a gift card. Year two is $100. Year three is two, you know, and it increases. You know, we're giving away Apple Watches. We're giving away a week's worth, you know, vacation, you know, paid for, and we'll cover your accounts and things like that. We'll do, you know, we have a semi-pro basketball team here in town. We had them come to the office and we did some giveaways and had meet and greets with the players and things like that. And the staff loves it. And we listen to them, what they want. And if they want something in particular, we'll do it. Somebody asked for a basketball hoop. We put a basketball hoop out in our parking lot. So they'll come to work early and they'll shoot hoops, you know? And it's creating a fun environment for the workers to come to.
Of all of those things, is there like maybe two or three that seem to be the most asked for or, that get the best response? I mean, you know, as people are listening to this, they're probably thinking, well, yeah, I know I reward my people and everything. But then I guess they're probably going, well, I can't do all of those. What would you suggest would be those things that would be the top three maybe?
You know, number one is I'm not actively out there cleaning all the time, right? So I'm in the office and I'm developing the management team and things like that, right? So,
you're not in doing that all the time anymore, right?
Right. But I can tell you this. I will go out there when they come in to start their shifts, and they will see me, and I will shake their hands, and I will make conversation with them. Even if I can't speak the same language, I will figure out a few words to interact with them. That goes a long way. I mean, they love that interaction. And so they see me, we're conversing. You know, it's having the management team just be able to communicate with your staff and do it in a professional way. And again, make it so they feel welcomed when they come in. And that's what we try to do. So we've got a big screen TV when they come in as well. And even for new hires that come in, we plaster their picture and their name up on that big screen. So when they come in, it's like, oh, wow, what am I doing up there? Some people get kind of shy when they see it. And other people are like, wow, this is cool. Like no other company has done this for me before. And then as other companies come in or other employees come in, they see that and they start welcoming this person.
Do you think that recognition of a new hire is going to, it really does something to help them stay retained? Because I think this is what a lot of people may be listening, you know, they hire somebody and within 3 or 4 or 5, 10 days, you know, they're rehiring somebody else to fill that. I think mm-hmm. that's one of the biggest important things that I listen to contractors say. We got to get people and keep those people so we're not just replacing ones that we already replaced. Is that new recognition when they first come in? Do you think that's a really big issue?
Yeah. I mean, it's huge. I mean, you know, I did this before where I would hire, and this is in the beginnings, I would hire somebody, maybe give them a day of training, and then they were gone, right? And that was it. And I would have very little communication with them. And I learned from that. That's not the way to go about it. So now it's like, if you take the time and you invest in them and you show them that, you know, they're appreciated. For day one, when they walk in, you show that they're appreciated. We have little swag bags, you know, with the water bottle, they have their uniforms in there, maybe a hat, something like that. We hand it to them, you know, and they're happy. It's like, you know, the biggest thing I hear is that other companies have never done this for me before, you know, and they've worked for some, you know, some big companies, and it's like, right. I'm not big by any means, but you just have to think outside of the box and how to keep them happy, keep them motivated. And so we do that. We'll have our meetings. And you know, these aren't your standard, just sit there and listen to the supervisor talk. we'll get them to interact with each other. We'll make sure that they're talking with each other because we want that communication open so everybody knows the teams. Because a lot of them work independently, right? They're, you know, route janitorial. They're not going to see anybody else, maybe other than their supervisor. Want to make sure that they know everybody on the team. Again, when it comes time for an anniversary, everybody knows about it and they're ready to hide and, you know, celebrate whoever this person is when it's their anniversary.
Well, and the thing about it is you've created a family atmosphere by everybody knowing, I mean, from the time that they walk in new to even the ones that are seasoned, everybody knows those things. I'm sure that you have, yeah, I was going to say a company barbecue, but I don't know. And do you do those up there?
We do, yeah. Not this time of year, but yeah, we do. Yeah, and we'll do barbecues. A lot of times they'll tell me what they want. And so we're at a staff meeting and they're like, hey, we're tired of pizza. Get something else. Like, what's going on? Like, okay, all right, well, what do you want? Let's have a hamburger station or something, you know? So, okay, so we'll put that together. I'll bring my grill down. We'll grill some hamburgers, you know? So we listen to what they want. And if that's what they want and it's just going to cost me some money on food to keep them happy and keep them motivated, I'm going to do it.
You know, I think it's interesting that you say that because, you know, I run an educational organization where, mm-hmm. you know, we educate and certify frontline custodians. And, you know, a lot of the people are newer, but then I get some seasoned people that come in and I hear the conversation all the time, retention, retention, retention. And I think it's really interesting in this industry how somebody can go and buy a $600 vacuum cleaner, but they can't invest $500 in that employee for a year's worth of education. And I'm just thinking, you know, I wonder what your company culture is. I'm hearing from you today that $500 a year spent on an employee to retain them probably would be a small investment.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, something like that with our management team, I have some new managers and some that have been doing it for a while, but I try to send each manager to some event throughout the year. So, you know, the ISSA event in Vegas, you know, there's other events with other, you know, other people within the industry, and I'll send them to there. So they get a different view of the industry, and they're networking and they're meeting other people. And then they're sharing the stories of what our retention strategies are and what we do. And then these other companies are telling them some stuff. So then we'll get a ton of feedback and we'll take everything that they've learned and what they've heard and we'll kind of put together plans. And so it just keeps us, I guess, on, you know, cutting edge. So we're staying where we should be, and we know what the new stuff is that's going on out there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you say that because there's a lot of people that say, you know what, we just keep doing the same thing. And if people come to classes here and they go, like, where's the mop bucket? I go, we don't use them. Where's the low speed floor machine? I go, we don't use it. Well, what about a feather duster? We don't do that. Yeah, just because we've done it in the past. And so what you're saying is you're keeping in tune with the future and where it's going. I think that's a lot of reasons why people don't want to come into the cleaning industry, because that's what they've seen. That's what they think we do. And I would believe that you would agree with some of those statements I made.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, we'll go as far too as we had somebody that is going to school for marketing. And she was really good at TikTok and putting together those videos. And so I said, listen, I'm going to pay you to follow the staff around. I want you to put together some cool videos. And so she started with, you know, with a couple of them. They were great, you know, highlighting some of the employees and what they're doing in some of these accounts. And then some of the employees were coming to me and they seemed kind of upset. And like, you know, what's going on? What's wrong? Well, I'm not in any of the videos. I want to be in the videos. Nobody asked me to be in the videos. And I'm like, seriously? I said, we'll put you in a video. I've got no problem with that. But
I mean, they follow you around with a camera.
Right. So, but I mean, they see that and it's like, what's going on? I want to be part of this. And so to me, that's great that they're seeing it, they're recognizing it, and they want to be a part of it. You know, just again, it goes back to the culture. It's building it. It's that retention. They want to be around. They want to do fun stuff and also get the work done too at the same time.
Well, and I think what you're, Edwin, when you say that, you know, I have this all the time. I'm in front of the camera all the time. This is kind of where I've lived for the last 20 years. You know, it makes no deal for me, pictures, video, whatever. Of course, you know, when you go on these speaking tours and stuff, you're talking to hundreds of people at a time. But then when you get the video camera, then it's just you by yourself. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Nobody can look at anything else. And some employees just don't want to be there. But you know what I think is interesting with your rank and file frontline technicians that you're talking about is there's a thing called peer pressure that happens to all of us.
Oh, yep.
Once they see it, once they see somebody else and they get to talking about it, then it's like everybody wants to join in. Hey, that's why TikTok and YouTube are popular, right?
Exactly.
It's great that you're using the social media like that. Hey, I got to ask a question. Since we're talking down this line, I don't know if you've looked at our website just recently, but we put up a new coming soon beta test. So if you go on the front page of the academyofcleaning.com website, you'll see a beta test there. Not going to tell you what it's all about, but if you hit the link and send me an email, I'm trying to bring some technology to the cleaning industry. So go there, click on that and find out, because I think that might be something you might be interested in.
Suspenseful. You won't tell me. I gotta follow all your prompts. I'll go through.
Okay. Hey. Well, I've been putting up your website there from time to time. I think I've got an email here. I'm going to scroll it across the bottom here. If you're watching the video, folks, you can see that we've put up the website. Now you can see Edwin's email address to get hold of him. I'm sure he'd be glad to talk to you. Edwin, there's some other things you do other than just cleaning.
Yeah. I started a couple of years ago. I started just being a consultant. I got a lot of calls that came my way that they saw me on this show or that show, and they wanted to talk about cleaning and wanted some insight. And so I started doing that, and it's kind of spiraled and it's taken off as of last year, really. And so I've got, clients in almost every single state. And so, I'm working with new startups to, 3 to 4 years in business and kind of helping them get started. A lot of what I'm finding out with a lot of clients is they were great cleaners, and they felt because they were great cleaners, they could start a business. And then when they started the business, they didn't know everything else that went along with the business, right? Timekeeping and financial stuff and things like that. And so it's just kind of teaching them from the beginning and walking them through each step. And we've been able to build a pretty good group, and we get them all to network together as well as frequently as possible.
So you do that under the same umbrella as iPro?
No, it's different. The website on that is blueprintjanitorial.com. And so, that's where we do that. Blueprint Janitorial Consulting is where I do that. And we've created a lot of stuff for the members too, from downloads, how to price jobs. We have bidding calculators that are out there as well to kind of help them, proposals and things like that. And just like you, you're getting into technology. I'm getting into that as well. By next month, I've been working on this for almost a year, but I've created a software system for just my company. But some of my clients have asked about really seeing it. And so we're incorporating a lot of stuff that they've told us with stuff that we do from, proposals, scope of work, scheduling, inspections, all that kind of stuff. We're rolling that out. And that one we've called Cinch, because we were trying to make it simple. We're not reinventing anything. We're just trying to make it simple for everybody.
Well, you know what? Yeah, we may have to work together. I get a lot of people that are starting in the industry and ask a lot of these kind of questions. So, you know what? We may have to do a little bit of co-working together.
Absolutely. I'd be down for that. And I saw that you're speaking at the Clean Building conference in next month in Baltimore. And I really wanted to be there and kind of see what's going on. Unfortunately, I got some stuff that I've already, some prior arrangements that I have, but that's pretty cool. I think what you've got going on, and it'd be interesting just to sit and listen and take notes on what you're going to be talking about out there.
Well, the first one, one of the ones is it's called the Getting to the Power of Wow. It's a 3-hour workshop. Whenever you're in this industry, it's interesting whenever somebody comes up to you and says, who are you? What do you do?
Right.
And most people in the cleaning industry fumble with all kinds of stuff that really doesn't garner any interest at all. And it's like, yeah, okay, fine. Or it's kind of like, they want, oh, well, we've got a mission statement. You know, I always ask people, and I do this at the start of this seminar, could you repeat the mission statement without looking? That means it's forgettable.
Right. Yep.
They don't like that. It's like, wait a minute, we worked hard on getting that mission statement together. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, maybe you got a vision statement. Repeat that to me without looking. And they can't do it. I'm like, well, right. I guess that was forgettable too. Okay, so what's your elevator pitch? And they struggle with that. I go, so what you're saying is all of those that we have been doing are forgettable. So if the first words out of your mouth when somebody asks you, who are you and what do? Are forgettable, wasn't worth saying.
Yep.
So that's what the 3-hour workshop is all about. I can't give it out already because we're going to be doing that up there more. But hey, you know, from that, somebody says, how do you go? Well, I just take people through my journey of what I learned and how I created my wow statement and patented it.
That's awesome. I mean, that's definitely worthwhile to sit and listen. And, you know, somebody with your expertise to pick your brain on that too and hear how you've done that. I mean, my wife gets on me all the time when we go out with friends and first time meeting somebody and they ask me what I do. And she's like, you got to change your pitch on what you tell people what you do for a living. Because I tell them, you know, they ask me, what do you do, Edwin, for a living? I clean toilets. And I guess that just doesn't work.
No.
So she's like, change it up. Stop saying that.
Now, if you've seen one of my emails, you've seen my patented wow statement. Mm-hmm. So I have no trouble. But it's the way that you craft it and the information that and everything you go through and putting those right words together, because you know, if you listen to people and you really understand this, we make our first impressions of somebody, especially in that kind of a case there, Edwin, in 3.2 seconds.
Yep, absolutely.
So those words have to be some of the most impactful words that you will ever say, especially if you're in business and you're an entrepreneur and you're working towards something. And mine is, I am a janitor and I save lives.
There you go. True and true.
Now, come to the workshop and you'll learn how I put that together. It wasn't as easy as we think. But, you know, Edwin, I think there's an interesting thing here when I looked at everything you did. The company culture is what struck me the most. And I think that is what most people, most operations, most entrepreneurs in this industry don't understand as the most valuable thing to them.
Yeah, I mean, people want to talk about sales, 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 grow your company, get that bottom line going. But again, you said it before too, that bottom line's not going to grow if you don't have the people to help you do it. And those people are just, they're your number one asset. And when you got them and you can trust them and they've been with you for a long time and they're happy with what they're doing and you appreciate them, they're going to do everything for you and they're going to make your clients happy. And I'm glad that company culture clicked in my head a few years back because it's been very beneficial to iPro.
Oh, I would think so. I mean, you know, that's just got to be one of the best things I've seen. I mean, you know, I look at all of your website, it's top notch. There's a lot of good things in there. We could go on and on about it. I really appreciate the fact that we caught up with each other on LinkedIn. I saw a post and I reached out and you were quick to do it. And I appreciate that. Anything that you would like to kind of, bring up that you haven't, that's kind of that one thing you'd like to leave people with before we do sign off?
Yeah, you know, on these podcasts, I know that there's a lot of people that are just getting into the business, getting into the industry. And, you know, I think everybody says it's almost cliche that you're going to fail a lot and you're going to learn from those failures. I can't see it, but I've got a notepad back there. And, you know, I tell my sales crew this. Write down your pros and cons, what's worked and what hasn't worked for you. And then what hasn't worked for you, get rid of that and move on with what does work. But I've got a binder there and it's just filled with all the cons, all the fails that I've had. And so what I like to do is go back and look at it and just remind myself, you know, if I'm in a rut, things aren't going well. And I look at that, it's like, oh yeah, these are on my cons list. I need to stop doing that. And I need to refocus myself on what I need to do. But for new business owners, that's your learning piece. Those are your learning steps to get to where you need to be. You're going to fail a lot, but you're going to learn from it. And then once you learn from it, you know, hopefully success follows with that.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things as we talk this afternoon or morning for you is that, I've had people say that you can't do it. And you said, and this was without prompting or anything, that they actually handed you the invoice and did everything for you, but you just had to take over and do because they understood and they appreciated your company culture. And I believe that there's so many people in this industry are just out for a buck, turning the dollar, but those people that understand what you do are the ones that keep progressing forward. And, you know, the dollars and the cents will make its way if we realize what it really takes, and that's those people.
Absolutely. Spot on, 100%.
Now, before I let you go, I want to say, hey, folks, if you've been listening to us on the podcast, I apologize. You haven't been able to see the website. You haven't been able to see his email. We'll put all that in the show notes. If you've been watching it on YouTube on the video, well, you've got to see all of that, and that's why you're watching on YouTube. On the other hand, I usually ask two questions of all of my first-time guests. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Where were you born?
I was born in Wenatchee, Washington.
I kind of feared it was right there on that coast. So we're starting at the year of 2024. What is on your personal bucket list for this year? Not business-wise, you personally.
So, yeah, me personally. Well, my wife loves to travel. So I promised her that we were going to travel a lot more this year. And I think from the business side of things, I've got things in line that I can step away a little bit more and not have to be so hands-on, which is nice. So I'm going to commit to myself to travel a little bit more because you need these vacations in this industry to get away from things and clear your mind and come back fresh. So I'm going to try to go as many places as I can. I'm going to Florida here in a couple months, wherever the sand is, the beach is, that's where I want to go.
Oh, I was about to ask, where's the trips going to? So you're just going to stay in the States then?
For one of them. I mean, my wife's got a few planned. She had her niece here the last couple months, and I didn't go with them, but they ended up going up to Alaska. I said it was cold enough here. I'm not going to go somewhere where it's negative 20 degrees. So they went. They had fun. They saw the Aurora lights, and I said, great. I looked at the pictures, and I was warm while I looked at them, so I'm good with that. But no, she has this dream of going to Bora Bora. We'll see if we can make that happen. Took her to Punta Cana last year, which was great. So, you know, we'll try to look at something like that and just have a good time.
Folks, you're probably asking, why in the world do I ask these two questions? And there is a reason. As if you've listened to anything I do and seen anything I do, there's usually a reason for most everything. And you know, it just comes from a lot of different appreciations of things. You know, we know where Edwin was born now. We know what he wants to do this year. We know a little bit about what happened in between. But you know what? I want you to make sure that you do is make sure that whatever you do from now until the next time that we talk to you folks, make sure you keep it healthy, positive, and proactive. Thanks for being on the podcast, Edwin, and hopefully we'll get you on here again.
Yeah, be fun. Thank you.